Today's shiur is Masechta Yevamos, Daf Beis. We will begin by Ezra Hashem, the new Masechta Yevamos, the new Seder Noshim. The Torah HaKadosh tells us a din of Yibum. If one unfortunately passes away without leaving any children, and when we speak about leaving any children, we look at the moment of death. If when the person passed away, he had no living children, and it's not only children, but it's also descendants, grandchildren, great-grandchildren. The Torah tells us that his wife is subject to Yibum. His brother, a paternal brother, that means a brother from the same father, has to do Yibum, take this woman in marriage, l'hakim sheim l'achiv, to establish a name for this brother who passed away without children. If one has more than one wife, which will be the subject of the shiur today, mitzvah Hashem, the obligation is only to do yibum on one of the wives. Similarly, if one passes away and leaves more than one brother, only one brother has to do yibum. The Torah, however, tells us that if none of the brothers is interested in doing Yibum, and actually we will learn in Mitzvah Hashem there are certain situations that even the widow can decline having Yibum done, then the Torah says that this band, and we will now introduce a very important word, the band that exists between the woman who has to have Yibum, who is called a Shemeres Yavam. She's waiting to have Yibum conducted. And the brother-in-law is called Zika. That Zika band can be broken by Chalitza. Whereas normally the relationship between a husband and a wife is broken through a get, a bill of divorce, that option does not exist to break the band between a Shemeres Yavam and her Yavam. Rather, it's broken through Chalitza, which involves the woman removing a special type of shoe worn by the Yavam, then saying certain psukim, and then spitting. That is how the Zika band can be broken. And our Masechta will now begin to discuss under what circumstances there is an obligation to do Yibum, and when that obligation is exempted, not only exempted, actually disallowed. The Seder Noshim that we now begin to learn starts with Masechta Yevamos, and the Rishonim already discuss why does it begin with this Masechta. Tosfos we learned in Masechta Moed Katan taught us that according to Tosfos' order of Shas, Masechta Moed Katan is the last Masechta of Seder Moed. Masechta Yevamos is the first Masechta of Seder Noshim. Both speak about unfortunate situations. Masechta Moed Katan, as we learned, discusses Hilchos Avelos. Masechta Yevamos discusses the unfortunate circumstances of someone passing away, and not only passing away, but passing away without leaving any children. So Samchinen Pranosla Pranosla, we put these two unfortunate situations next to each other. The Rambam doesn't follow that order of Shas, and actually we don't either. That's why we learned Masechta Chagiga as the last Masechta of Seder Moed. So according to the Rambam's explanation of Seder HaShas, there are other explanations why Seder Noshim begins with Masechta Yevamos. One explanation is that our Masechta discusses all the women, as we're going to actually learn very soon in the Mishnah, that are permitted and prohibited all the Ervis. Understanding Seder Noshim, to begin understanding Seder Noshim, one needs to know with whom one may or may not have a relationship. Another pshat given is that the Torah already in the Sefer Bereishis discusses a situation of Yibum where the wife of Tamar, the wife of Yehuda's children, had Yibum. So since this is mentioned already at the beginning of the Torah, before we find the actual institution of marriage married in the Torah, mentioned in the Torah, that's why Masechta Yevamos is married first, mentioned first. Another pshat that I see is because that whereas Masechta Ksubos, for example, Masechta Kedushin, discuss a man and a woman getting married, it's a voluntary marriage. The man and woman decided to get married. But as we just explained in our introductory words, Yibum is an obligation that the Torah puts on the Yavam, so if and the Yavama. So since this is something that they're obligated to do, the Seder begins with something that they must do, not something purely, totally voluntary. And another pshat that I saw, and this will help us understand the words we begin to learn in the Mishnah, is, as we know, the purpose of getting married is puravu, to have children. That obligation, however, is only an obligation on the man, not on the woman. So when we learn Masechta Ksubos and we learn Masechta Kedushin, we speak about an obligation that only applies to the man. However, there are Rishonim that say that the obligation of Yibum is not only an obligation on the man, it's also an obligation on the Shemeris Yavam, on the woman. So since it's an obligation on both of them, therefore our Masechta Seder begins with Masechta Yevamos. Teaches us the Mishnah. Chomesh Asrei Noshim Paitreis Tzaraseihem. There are 15 circumstances, says the Mishnah, where we can have two brothers. One brother married to a woman, and the marriage is 100% halachically acceptable, and that very same woman would be prohibited to marry a brother of this person. There are certain ervis, 6 ervis that the Gemara will identify, that those ervis, it can never be a situation where one brother may be married to this woman and another brother may not be married to this woman. But the 15 ervis that our Mishnah discuss are ervis that only could possibly apply only to one brother and not to another brother. So to give an example, as we will learn very soon in the Mishnah, we have two brothers, Reuven and Shimon. And Shimon is married to Reuven's daughter. A man is allowed to marry his niece. And then Shimon dies without children. So Reuven's daughter now falls to Yibum to Reuven. And Reuven cannot do Yibum on an Erva, given that besides that she's his wife's brother, his brother's wife, she's also his daughter. There is no Chiv Yibum. Not only is there no Chiv Yibum, there's actually an Isser to do Yibum because of this Erva situation. Moreover, says the Rosh, now we can understand why the Mishnah uses the word Chamesh Esrei Noshim. As Tosfos points out, shouldn't the Mishnah use the Loshon Chamesh Esrei Aroyos? The Mishnah again is teaching us that the obligation of Yibum is not only on the man, it's also on the woman. But these women, because of the circumstances that we will describe in Mitzvah Shem in the Mishnah, are exempt from that mitzvah that they normally have of Yibum. So not only these women, teaches us the Mishnah, Reuven's daughter, obviously Reuven cannot do Yibum with her, but if Shimon had another wife who's not related to Reuven, since Reuven cannot do Yibum on one of Shimon's wives, his daughter, Reuven cannot do Yibum on the other wife of Shimon. And it's important to indicate, when the Mishnah says that Reuven cannot do now Yibum, not only on his daughter, Shimon's wife, but on the other wife of Shimon, the Mefarshim explain what happens is that the Isser Erva of Eishes Ach, for normally one is certainly not allowed to marry his brother's wife. It's only in the circumstance of Yibum that the Torah said one may marry his brother's wife. But if Yibum isn't applicable, then the Isser Erva of Eishes Ach remains. And therefore, this woman, who was the co-wife of Reuven's daughter, and therefore is exempt from Yibum, the Issa Erva of Eishes Ach remains on her. Now let's say there were three brothers, Reuven, Shimon, and Levi. And Shimon, as we said, was married to Reuven's daughter and to another woman. So we explained that Reuven will not do Yibum, not on his daughter, nor on her co-wife. But Levi does do Yibum. Not only does he do Yibum, he has to do Yibum. So let's say he did Yibum on the co-wife. And now Levi passes away. And Levi had also another wife. Besides, he had a wife that was his wife, and he also had the wife that he took in Yibum, who was the original co-wife of Reuven's daughter when they were married to Shimon. Given that this woman, and now Levi passes away, given that this woman, Reuven's daughter's co-wife, was exempt from Yibum to Reuven, now when Levi dies, she remains exempt, and the reason she's exempt is because, as we explained a moment ago, she has on her the erva of Eishes Ach. She will also exempt Levi's other wife from having Yibum with Reuven. Poitrus Tzarseyem, V'Tzarus Tzarseyem, Min Chalitza Min Yibum At Soif Olam. And this could continue to have with many brothers with the same situation. And as Tosfos points out, why does the Mishnah have to teach us both Poitrus Tzarseyem V'Tzarus Tzarseyem, that this continues At Soif Olam? So one teretz is given is because the halacha that Tzarus Tzara are also exempt from Yibum and Chalitza is learned, as we were learning the Gemara, according to Sama and the Amrim, from the word Litzroir. So I would say that it only goes up to a Tzarus Tzara, but perhaps it doesn't go further. That's why the Mishnah has to emphasize at Saif HaOilam, this Ptor continues as many brothers there may be, they always will be exempt. That means, just to explain, now that we said that Levi wives cannot have Yibum to Reuven, one because she was the co-wife of Reuven's daughter when they were married to Shimon, and the other because she's now this woman's co-wife. Now if there's another brother, Yehuda, who had a wife and marries Levi's wife, not the original co-wife of Reuven's daughter, and then Yehuda dies, that still will be the halacha that Reuven will not be allowed to do Yibum on either of Yehuda's wife if Yehuda passes away without children. And the explanation is, as we have mentioned, because once the Torah tells us that Yibum cannot be done, let's go back to the original brother who passed away. Shimon passed away and Reuven's daughter and another woman were his wives. Once Yibum cannot be done on Shimon's wives, both on Reuven, to Reuven, both Reuven's daughter and Reuven's daughter's co-wife. So Reuven's daughter's co-wife is not just her Isser to do Yibum, is not just emanating because she's a co-wife. She is an independent Isser. She has on herself the Isser of Eishes Ach. And therefore, that Isser continues. And the same goes for every Tzara and Tzara. Tzara at Soif HaOilam. Ve'elohen, so who are these women that we've discussed? Bitoy, one is the example we just gave, Reuven's daughter, and the same would be Bas Bitoy or Bas Benoy, Reuven's granddaughters, whether they're a granddaughter, a son's daughter, or a daughter's daughter. And as Rashi explains when we were learning the Gemara, when we speak here about the Yavam's daughter, we don't mean his daughter who he had married a woman and they had a daughter and then they had grandchildren, because that is usher. Even if I marry a woman, her daughter and her granddaughters are prohibited to me, even if they're not my children and descendants. Here we're referring to a situation where one had a daughter out of wedlock, and these are grandchildren that came from that relationship. These children, these women, may not be married to this person, but they may be married to his brother, and if they fall to him to Yibum, they will not be Mechuyivim Yibum, and as we learned, they will exempt the co-wives. Bas Ishtoi, or Bas Bina, or Bas Pita. The next set is when someone's brother married, Shimon married either Reuven's wife's daughter or Reuven's wife's granddaughter, either type of granddaughter. Reuven is not allowed to be married to these women, and therefore if Shimon dies without children, leaving these women as widows, they will not be obligated in Yibum, and they will even exempt their co-wives at Saifa Olam. Chamoisoi. The next case is Chamoisoi. So Rashi explains Chamoisoi to be where a man's mother-in-law, and as we will learn, it's not only a mother-in-law, but the next case is Eim Chamoisoi, a mother-in-law's mother, Veim Chamav, a father-in-law's mother, all the same. So according to Rashi, the explanation of the Gemara is that a man's mother-in-law became a widow or divorced and then married his brother. That means Reuven's mother-in-law became a widow or divorced from his father-in-law and now married Shimon, Reuven's brother, and Shimon passes away. The halacha is that one may not have relations with his mother-in-law or with his mother-in-law's mother or with his father-in-law's mother, so she will be exempt from Yibum, and furthermore she will exempt her tzara and so on. Another possibility that the Mefarshim give is that a Yavam married his brother's daughter who was an only child. She then died, causing her father, who's the Yavam's brother, to remain childless. Her father then died, and then his wife, who's the Yavam's mother-in-law, becomes obligated to Yibum before her son-in-law. She doesn't have any more children because Reuven's wife passed away and that was her only child, and now she stands to her son-in-law for Yibum. The Rivash and others discuss why Rashi didn't mention this case specifically. As the Rivash points out, in the case that Rashi explains of a mother-in-law, the mother-in-law became a widow twice, whereas this case that we just explained, she only became a widow once. Says the Rivash, because we're going to learn in the Gemara Mitzvashem that there's one interest in unique erva, a chois ishtoi. One is not allowed to marry his wife's sister, but that halacha is only as long as his wife or former wife is alive. If one was married to Rachel, so even if he divorces Rachel, as long as Rachel is alive, he's not allowed to marry Rachel's sister Leah. But once Rachel passes away, that Isser is no longer there and he may marry Leah. There are those that say that the same halacha applies regarding a mother-in-law, that the Isser to marry, the Isser deraisa, to marry a mother-in-law only applies as long as one's wife is alive. In the case that we just explained, Reuven's wife, his mother-in-law's daughter, is no longer alive, and perhaps there is no Isser or Issa Daraisa to marry her, and that's why that's not the case Rashi wanted to mention. Another explanation given by Rav Chaim Shmulevitz why the Gemara why Rashi doesn't choose this example is because in the case that we just explained, the second way of explaining Chamoisai, this woman was first his mother-in-law and then became his brother's, was first his mother-in-law and then became his brother's wife. There is a shaila if we say Issa Chalal Issa. If one is first a mother-in-law, do we then also apply to her the Issa of Eishes Ach? So, in the case that the Rivash explained, she was first a sister-in-law and then a mother-in-law. Rashi was looking for a case where she was first a mother-in-law and then a sister-in-law. Continues the Mishnah, Achoisoi mi'imai. If the Yavin's maternal sister falls to him to Yibum, There is no obligation. And the explanation is as follows. We could have a situation where there is a woman who's my maternal sister and not related at all to my paternal brother. As we said in our introductory remarks, the obligation of Yibam is only between paternal brothers. So if my paternal brother married my maternal sister, which is 100% fine because they're not related at all, I still can't do Yibam on this woman because she's an erva to me and she would exempt her tzara and so on. Achais imai, his mother's sister. If one brother is married to the other brother's mother's sister, which again is not necessarily related to him, because these two brothers are only paternal brothers, I can't have relations with my mother's sister. Achais ishtai, his wife's sister, which means a case where the two brothers married to two sisters. Reuven is married to Rachel, Shimon is married to Leah, and Shimon passes away without children. Reuven may not do Yibum to Leah because she's Achais ishtai, she's his wife's sister. And Tosfos points out a very interesting point. Tosfos says that, as we explained a moment ago, Achais ishtai is a very unique erva. It's an erva that's only an erva as long as Rachel, his wife, is alive. But once Rachel, Reuven's wife, passes away, he is allowed to have relations with Leah. So the question is, why is Yibam exempt? We should say that perhaps Yibam should become permitted if Rachel will pass away. Says Tosfos, a very important concept. Concept is, Kivan shenesra sha'achas shuvnesra la'olam. If she becomes prohibited for one moment, she's prohibited forever. And there are a number of ways of explaining Tosfos. The simple way of explaining Tosfos is that Tosfos is teaching us that the Torah is drachel darchinoyam. The Torah's ways are acceptable. To say a pleasant, to say first this woman is exempt and then she's obligated, that's not a pleasant way of giving mitzvahs. And that's why the Torah says if she's exempt, she remains exempt forever. But the Mefarshim, the Chazon Ish, Rabbi Chanan Wasserman, explained this Gemara again with the concept that we've been trying to use. At the moment of death, of Shimon's death, which is the defining moment, is there or is there not going to be an obligation to do Yibam? There was no obligation to do Yibam. Because at that moment, Reuven's wife, Rachel, was still alive, and she was an Achais Ishtai. As we explained earlier, so she remains, she has on herself the erva of Eishes Ach. In a situation where there's an obligation to do Yibam, that erva falls away. But if there's no obligation to do Yibam, because Reuven's wife, Rachel, is alive, and he can't do Yibam on Leah, so she remains the erva of Eishes Ach, which is no less of an erva than any of the other arayos mentioned in our Mishnah. And therefore, once she has on herself this category, the status of being an erva, that remains kivan shenesra sha'achas shuvnesra l'olam. As Tosfos, if we're going to follow this concept of kivan shenesra sha'achas shuvnesra l'olam, so what would be if a man passes away and his wife is not related at all to his brothers, but she was a nida at the moment of death, and one may not have relations with a nida? Why can Yibam be done afterwards when she's no longer a nida? So Tosfos gives a number of answers. One answer given is that nida is not a unique isser between this man and woman. Nida is an isser that applies to all people. When we speak about the rayas in our Mishnah that exempt the chi of Yibam, it's only when there's a unique erva relationship. Another answer given is that al pidin, one can have kedushin in a nida. You can't have relations with a nida, but you can have kedusha with a nida. However, one cannot have kedusha with one of the arayas, so that's why it's different. Another answer given is that the iser nida, by definition, is a temporary iser. It's only as long as she's a nida. After she won't be a nida anymore, there's no longer any iser. Whereas the iser arayas is an iser that's a permanent iser, and therefore is different. And with this, the Chacham Tzvi answers a shaila. He says that when a man's brother passes away, he becomes an oinen, and the widow of his brother becomes an oinenes. As we have learned, a oinen, oinenes, a potter mikol ha-mitzvos. So at that moment, again, going back to the moment of death, which we said is the defining moment, they cannot do yibum. They're potter mikol ha-mitzvos. So why don't we say kimish nesra sha'achas shuv nesra lo'ilam? The answer is, according to the way we just explained, that's only a temporary iser. It's only an iser till the kfura, till the burial. That's not the type of iser that takes away the obligation of yibam. Another answer that the Chacham Tzvi tries to say is that although they can't do yibam at that moment because they're oinanim, chalitza may be done. And since chalitza may be done, therefore it's not considered that the yibam bond is not there for those moments. Which is not a simple answer. The Mefarshim discussed the Chacham Tzvi's answer, because many Mefarshim say that doing chalitza is a mitzvah, and as we just said a moment ago, oinen is exempt from doing mitzvahs, so he would not be allowed to do chalitza either. Another issue with this answer of the Chacham Tzvi is that, as we will learn in Mitzvah Shem and the Gemara, chalitza and yibam travel together. And if yibam may not be conducted, then chalitza may not be conducted. And if we're saying that yibam can't be conducted because they're oinonim, then by definition, chalitza can't be done either. The next erva the Mishnah mentions is Eishes Ochiv Mi'imai, his maternal brother's wife. If a woman is someone's maternal brother's wife, and that brother passes away, so there is no obligation of yibum. Because as we said a moment ago, the obligation of yibum only exists between paternal brothers. So if a woman was someone's maternal brother's wife, so there is, and again, this is the way the Chazon Ish beautifully explains this case in the Mishnah. So now, this woman, given that there was no chiv yibum, remains with the erva of Eishes Ach on him. For although the chiv yibum is only on paternal brother's wife, the iser of Eishes Ach is not limited to paternal brother. Even a maternal brother's wife is an Eishes Ach. Now, if this woman goes on to marry a paternal brother of this person, now, and then that brother dies, so she now is a paternal brother, explains the paternal brother's wife, explains the Chazon Ish, since she got on herself this name Eishes Ach from when his maternal brother was married to her, and that erva is an erva like all other ervas that isn't removed ever, so now even though she falls to yibam from him, to him, because of his paternal brother's death, that doesn't take away that original shame erva, and there will not be an obligation for yibam, not only in her, but she continues to exempt tzaraseim v'tzaras tzaraseim. Eishes ochiv shalahaya balamai. This is a different type of a situation, because here we're not really speaking strictly to an erva situation. Here we're speaking to a situation that the Torah, when introduces the parsha of yibam, says the word yeshu achim yachdov. Only when brothers are in the world together, the obligation of yibam only applies when these two brothers were in the world together. So if Reuven dies without children, leaving a widow and a brother, Shimon, after his death, another brother, Levi, is born. So the woman, the widow, is eligible for Yibam with Shimon, who was alive at the same time as Reuven, but not with Levi, who is not his contemporary. Since he's excluded from the mitzvah of Yibam, the widow remains forbidden to him, because she has on herself the shame of Eishes Achiv. So if Shimon then marries Reuven's widow in Yibam, and Shimon has another wife, and Shimon dies, leaving both his wives to Levi for Yibam, since the wife that of Shimon, who was originally Reuven's wife, that's now allowed to be married to Levi, because it's an Eishes Achiv, that didn't have the mitzvah of Yibam, because Reuven and Levi did not live in the world together, the same thing will apply, the same will, that will also exempt her co-wife, Levi's other wife. The Kalosai. And the last case of the Ervis that I mentioned is a daughter-in-law. If a man's married son died, and that daughter-in-law marries his brother, and then the husband dies, the brother, that means Reuven's daughter-in-law, after Reuven's son passes away, marries Shimon, Reuven's brother, and Shimon passes away, Reuven cannot do Yibam with this woman, it's his daughter-in-law, and therefore the dinim of Paitras Tarasayim, Vitzaret Tarasayim, become relevant. Hare'elu, Paitras, they are exempt, and they exempt Tarasayim, Vitzaret Tarasayim, Minachalitza, Uminayibam, Ad Saif Olam, forever. Continues the Gemara, the Kula. However, all of these women, Imesu, as we've been explaining, the defining moment of Yibam is the moment of death of the brother who's dying without children. If the woman he was married to, who was related to his brother, divorced him or died prior to his death, so there was no Yibam relationship, there was no relationship that began at that moment. And therefore, Kulan and Mesu, if any of these 15 women who had been married to the Yavin's brother, but died before the brother died, or Mirnu, and we'll explain that in a moment, or Nizgashu, again, if they were divorced, if Shimon was married to one of Reuven's relatives that were enumerated at the beginning of our Mishnah, but before Shimon died, he divorced this woman, so at the moment of death, at the moment of Shimon's death, there is the issue of an erva falling to Yibam isn't there, so therefore the other wife will be obligated to have Yibam, even to Reuven. And now we will explain Mianu. The Torah tells us that a father has the ability to marry off his daughter who is a ketana, who is a minor. That marriage is a kedushei d'oraisa. It's a full-fledged marriage midiraisa. And if that marriage is to be broken, it has to be broken in the normal fashion that a marriage is dissolved with a get. However, the Torah says, the Chazal tell us, that if a woman doesn't have a father, in order that she should not become promiscuous, in those days girls got married very young, and if they didn't get married young, we had to be concerned about their moral behavior. Chazal gave her mother and brothers the right to marry off. But that's only the Rabbanan, an ability that the authority that the Rabbanan gave. And that's a Kedusha de Rabbanan. For such a marriage, if this girl, who's a Ketana, wants to dissolve the marriage before she becomes a Gedayla, she does something which is known as Miyun. Miyun, to define it literally, is to refuse. Chazal gave her the right to annul the marriage. So our Mishnah is teaching us that if this woman annulled her marriage to the brother prior to the brother's death, so the other wives that were married to the brother when he died do fall to the Yavam for Yibam. And the question that Rashi obviously asks if, let's just go back again to the first case of our Mishnah. Bitoy. Bitoy would mean that if one's daughter was married, if Reuven's daughter was married to Shimon, and she did miyun to Shimon before Shimon died, Shimon's other wife or wives would fall to Reuven for Yibam. But the question is obvious. Didn't we just say that if one has a father, then the Kedushin are Kedusha deraisa, and therefore miyun is not applicable? So how can we have a case of miyun if it's Reuven still alive? Answers Rashi, there can be a case that a girl can do miyun even though she has a father. And that's the case where a father married off a daughter when she was a ketana. She divorced that husband. So even though she's still a ketana, the authority the Torah gave to a father to marry off his daughter no longer exists. And that girl who gets married, given that she's still a ketana, it's only a kedusha derabbanan, she's called a yosoima b'chayei ho'av. Even though she still, Baruch Hashem, has a father, halachically, as far as the ability to marry off, she's considered yosoima b'chayei ho'av, and her father doesn't have the right, the rights to marry off, and she could do miyun. Oishinim tzu ailonis. Or the next case is if she found out to be an ailonis. An ailonis, as we will learn in the Gemara Mitzvashem, is a woman who has certain physical characteristics and is incapable of having children. And as the Rishonim explained, and as we explained earlier, the purpose of a Jewish marriage is to have children. So the halacha assumes that this man who's married to an ailonis, if he were aware that his wife was unfortunately an ailonis, he would have never married her. So the kedushin is rendered a kedusha tos. It's a kedushin that was never effective. So, for example, if Shimon, Reuven's brother, was married to two women, and one woman was, going back to our original example, was Reuven's daughter, but Reuven's daughter is an ailonis, Rachmana Litzlan. So the marriage between Shimon and that woman, Reuven's daughter, is not viewed by the halacha as a marriage, because Shimon would have never married her knowing that she's an ailonis. Therefore, their marriage is not a marriage. Shimon is not considered as if he's married to that daughter, and therefore she doesn't fall to her father for Yibam, and she doesn't exempt her co-wives from being able to have Yibam between Reuven and them. And there's a discussion here in Tosfos and in the Rishonim when we apply this concept that if one determines that his wife, that if one's wife is an ailonis, we consider it a kedusha tos. Certainly, Tosfos tells us that if one is aware that his wife is an ailonis and he still remains with her, that can't be considered a kedusha tos. It's only kedusha tos if he wasn't aware that his wife is an ailonis. Other Rishonim say, the Ramban says, that we only could say that a kedusha ailonis is considered kedusha tos as long as the woman is a ketana. But once it's a gedola, we don't apply that concept. Other Rishonim differentiate if the kedushin, if they only had erusin, or they even had nisuin. This concept that we say that a kedushin rendered a kedusha tos if the wife is an ailonis is only if they only had erusin. If they even had nisuin, then we cannot say it's a kedusha tos. There's a very nice vort from the Sefer Chanukas HaTorah based on this Gemara, based on this Mishnah. He says that the Malach told Avimelech after he had taken Sarah, Avram's wife, he tells her, "V'ata hoshev as v'ata hoshev eishes or ish ki navihu. Return her to her husband because he's a navi." So the Gemara already, Masech Demakas, asks, it has nothing to do with him being a Navi. You're not allowed to take someone's wife. Why does the Pasuk indicate Ki Navihu? Answers the Sefer Chanukas HaTorah. Sarah was an ailonis. So Avimelech said to the Malach, what are you telling me that Sarah is an Eishes Ish? She's married to Avram. She's married to Avram, so I'm not allowed to have relations with her. She's an ailonis. It's a kedusha tos. So the Malach told back to Avimelech, Ki Navihu, Avram Avinu is a Navi. He knows that sorrow is an idleness. And as we just explained, if the husband is aware that the wife is an idleness, then the Kedushin are a Kedushin. And that's why Hashav, it's Eishas Ha'ish. The marriage is a real marriage. It's not a Kedushin Tos, and you have no right to be with her. So, in all these cases, as we explained, since the marriage, there is no marriage between Reuven's relative and Shimon, therefore, Tzarsei Mataris, the other wives of Shimon, do have Yibum with Reuven. V'yat, however, says the Mishnah, V'yat yochaloim b'chamoisoi, b'aim chamoisoi, b'aim chama, by definition, you cannot have, when the case is enumerated in the Mishnah, a mother-in-law, or a mother-in-law's mother, or a father-in-law's mother, shenimtza ilness, that they should be an ilness or shemiyanu, they could refuse. Because an ilness, as we explained, is one that can't have children. Somebody's mother-in-law, by definition, had a child, or his mother-in-law's mother, father-in-law's mother. Also, as we said, miyun is only possible to be done when the woman is a ketana. If they had children, ketanim cannot have children. So by definition, these women cannot be ilness or could do miyun. Ketzet peitzet are the same. So how does the work that these 15 ervis exempt their co-wives from chalitz and yibam? We explain this: if Reuven's daughter or one of the other ervis to Reuven was married to Shimon, Reuven's brother, v'loy isha acheres, and Shimon has another wife, v'meis, and then Shimon passes away, kishem shabita petura, just like Reuven will not do yibum in his daughter, kach tsarasa petura, so too will Reuven's daughter's co-wife exempt the co-wife from Yibam between Reuven and her. This, as Rashi explains, was referring to where only two brothers, Reuven and Shimon. Now continues the Mishnah to speak about a case where there were three daughters. Hochas Tzaras Pitoi, three brothers. Hochas Tzaras Pitoi v'nosav lachav ashinai. That means, as we just said, Reuven's daughter was married to Shimon, his brother, with another woman. Let's say the other woman's name is Chana. And Shimon passes away. As we explained, Reuven can't do Yibum with either of these two women. However, Levi, the other brother, does Yibum with Chana. And then he has V'loy Isha Cheres. Levi has another wife, Miriam, V'meis. And Levi passes away. And now these two women potentially are falling again to Reuven for Yibam. Shame Shitzaras Bita Petura, just like Reuven cannot do Yibam on Chana because she was his daughter's co-wife when Shimon passed away, that woman, as we explained at the beginning of the Mishnah, is considered an erva, the erva of Eishes Ach, and therefore she also exempts Kach Tzaras Tzarasa Petura, she exempts Miriam, Levi's other wife, from Yibum to Reuven. Filu Heimeya, and this continues even if there are 100 brothers, each successive co-wife continues to exempt her co-wife. Ketzad Imesu Tzarseim Mataris. How do we explain the case, and we already explained this, that if they died, their co-wives are permitted to have Yibum. Hoy Sabita Aksbikal Arayas Eilin Nesuas Lachiv. Reuven's daughter was married to Shimon. V'loy Isha Acheres. And Shimon has another wife, Chana. Meis Bita Nesgarsha. And Reuven's daughter passed away or divorced Shimon before Shimon died. V'achkach Meis Achiv. And then Shimon passes away. So at the moment of death, which we've been saying is the defining moment, there is no erev situation here. So Rosh Matara, Chana may have Yibum with Reuven. The Kol HaYichol, now the Mishnah says another case. The Kol HaYichol Laman V'loy Miyuna. Let's say Shimon was married to Reuven's daughter, and Shimon was married to Reuven's daughter, and she was a Kedushin where miyun was possible, but she didn't do miyun while Shimon was alive. Again, to explain, as we've been learning the Mishnah, Reuven's daughter was married off by Reuven, divorced her first husband. Second husband is Shimon, Reuven's brother. Given that she's considered a Yisoyma B'chaya Av, so she can do Miyun and Shimon. But she didn't do Miyun and Shimon. And now Shimon passes away, and Shimon has these two wives. One is Reuven's daughter, who could have done Miyun, and actually could retroactively do Miyun, halachically, after Shimon passes away, and Chana, Shimon's other wife. So the halacha, midaraisa, does not recognize the marriage between Shimon and Reuven's daughter, because it was only a Kedusha derabbanan. Since it was only a Kedusha derabbanan, so there is an obligation, the only wife that the Torah considers as a wife of Shimon is Chana, who's not related to Reuven. But since, as Rashi explains, it looks like a situation of a tzaras erva, the Mishnah teaches us that we can't say that there is no obligation to do anything between, there is no zika, that there is no relationship between Reuven and Chana. But on the other hand, since it looks like a tzaras erva, the Mishnah teaches us to do chalitza v'loy mus yabemes, don't do yibum, do only chalitza in such a situation.